And a good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, X, and Facebook. Don't forget that you can take the show with you 24/7 on demand by checking out the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. You can also listen online by visiting the website nickcraig.com. Our show this morning, as always, is brought to you by Melissa Gott and the amazing team of over at the Law Group in Wilmington. Visit them online, lawgroupnc.com. We'll hear more from them coming up a little bit later on in the program this morning. Quick reminder, a final recall this morning for our final monthly hangout of the year. Always such a great time on these. For those that support the show over at patreon.com/Nick Craig, we'll be getting together tonight around 7, or not around, at 7 p.m. Chat for a couple of hours as we do. A lot of news across the nation, across the country, and here in North Carolina. We'll chat about that, maybe some holiday travel plans, and more. Make sure you check your Patreon account for that. I'll send out a final email reminder a little bit later on today. Patreon.com/Nick Craig. Look forward to chatting with everybody coming up a little bit later on tonight. All right, our topic for the show this morning is one that I wasn't anticipating and wasn't expecting, but after watching a press conference that took place yesterday afternoon out of Brown University, of course, we covered that on Monday. Two students were brutally murdered and nine others severely injured by gunmen on campus on Saturday afternoon. I think Saturday afternoon on the campus of Brown University. It's now, at this point in time, Wednesday morning. This press conference happened Tuesday night, and the situation is just bizarre. Now, I understand that we've seen high-profile investigations a lot over the last couple of years with shootings, unfortunately, with murders taking place, whether it's, you know, the Charlie Kirk shooting earlier this year, the assailant in that case, not immediately apprehended by law enforcement, took a couple of days there. The murder of the United CEO healthcare, the United healthcare CEO as well, and a couple of days on that. So let me make sure that I preface what we're going to watch and dive into this morning. Let me preface this with saying, I understand that law enforcement takes time. I understand that investigations take time. And I understand that you can't always immediately provide all of the information to the public. But because of some of these other high-profile situations, whether we're talking about Charlie Kirk, other events, the United Healthcare CEO situation, we genuinely have a pretty good idea of how these things play out. We've seen both local, state, and federal law enforcement come together, describe a situation, provide information to the public, and, you know, kind of walk through a, well, I'll note, a very active situation. And so we genuinely have a pretty good idea of how these things are supposed to play out. And something is just off in Providence, Rhode Island. Something is just off within this investigation. There was about a 50-minute press conference that took place yesterday, and there are more questions than answers at this point. You've got websites on the university that are currently being scrubbed of people's identities, and that, you know, I don't know how much you can read into that. Some folks are reading into that, that, you know, that's the potential assailant, that's the potential suspect, which it very well could be. There's just a lot of very odd information, some weird defensive comments from those at Brown University. The whole position is just, the situation is just very, very bizarre. So let's start off on the top. Yesterday afternoon, we received some new surveillance footage from the Providence Police Department showing said alleged shooter. This is a suspect of interest. They do not inherently or they've not provided any evidence that this is 100% the shooter, but this is some new surveillance footage from private either businesses or houses showing an individual that they believe and they are continuing to describe as a suspect of interest. And, you know, these videos are for the most part pretty high quality. I mean, you can see like for those that are not familiar with Brown University, like some other schools like NYU, it is a campus that has a city, the campus is kind of in the middle of a city. And so you've got immediately right off the edge of campus, a very affluent, prominent neighborhood and neighborhoods that butt right up to the edge of the university, at least, you know, the some of the outer areas of the university. So there's this new surveillance footage that was released by the Providence Police Department yesterday that shows this individual, their suspect, or their person of interest, I should say, not a suspect, but their person of interest, walking around in an area that would be consistent with somebody having committed this act of violence on this portion of campus and then fleeing into a nearby neighborhood because the campus butts right up to that area. So I'm going to play for you some of this press conference yesterday, because even the media is getting kind of antsy in this case, because again, it's like as every day goes by, it seems like there is even less, which is almost bizarre to say. But as every day goes by, it seems like there is less information available and even more questions surrounding this investigation. And a lot of this came out in a Q&A period that took place during the press conference yesterday. First, we're going to hear from the president of Brown University, and then we're going to listen together to this Q&A session with a lot of really good questions and unfortunately not a lot of sufficient answers from my vantage point. Always put disclaimers on things. I'm not a law enforcement professional. I have never been in law enforcement. I don't have any former or proper training in investigations like this. What I will say I have, however, is a decade now of commentating, following, reporting on the news, and have watched, I don't even know how many similar press conferences to this when you've got, unfortunately, in this case, mass acts of violence. I have watched, I don't even know what the number is. I'm not even going to guess. It could be dozens. It could be hundreds. It's been 10 years. And so I've watched a lot of these. I've seen how this process typically unfolds, and something just seems off. Something is odd in this situation at Brown University. So before the Q&A, let's get into the president of Brown University and her comments yesterday afternoon.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to begin by thanking the many law enforcement agencies who continue to work around the clock on this case. It's very impressive. I also want to thank the mayor and the governor for their continued support. The primary point that I wanted to address before we get to questions is that Brown is deeply committed to the safety and security and well-being of our community. And I've been deeply saddened to see people questioning that. We understand that as time goes on, there is maybe a natural instinct to assign responsibility for a tragic event like this. Anxiety and fear is very natural, but the shooter is responsible. Horrific gun violence took the lives of these students and hospitalized others. And it's deeply sad and tragic that schools across the country are targets of violence. Brown is no exception. We are cooperating fully with law enforcement, and again, we thank the multiple agencies that have been working so hard day and night with increased patrols to keep our campus safe and to investigate this horrific shooting. Thank you.
So just before we get into this Q&A portion of this, that is just a very weird thing to clarify. And I will admit, I've been following this pretty closely. I'll admit I'm not diving into it day in and day out. I got a lot of other stuff going on, a lot of other things that we're tracking, a lot of balls being juggled, for lack of a better term. But I'm not seeing people, and what you just heard from the president of Brown, people are blaming the university for this happening. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. If she's commenting on the growing frustration with the public that there has been very little public information available since this took place on Saturday, that's fair criticism. And that's unfortunately fair game. People are going to be skeptical. People are going to be concerned, especially when they are told since Saturday, the public is not in danger. Don't change your day-to-day life. Don't worry about anything. And you've got an assailant that they seemingly have no information on that is on the loose doing God knows what. I mean, this individual who looks like a man, so this guy that is the, at least in the surveillance video, is their person of interest, the potential suspect, could be literally halfway across the world by now. And we'd have no idea, because that is how little information is available. And so this was right, that comment was pretty close to the beginning of the press conference yesterday. And it's just a weird thing to say that people are, this defensive action of people are blaming Brown University. I don't think people are blaming Brown. I think people are frustrated that there is a person on the loose that shot and killed two college students, injured nine others, and we essentially have no new information since Saturday. This is Tuesday evening around 5 p.m. yesterday. It's now Wednesday morning, and we're in the same boat. Now, the fortunate thing with this is this can change pretty quickly. You can go from having no information to a huge break in the case, and then everything kind of slingshots over, and you have a very, very quick amount of information that's available. And I'm not oblivious to that. I understand how this a process like this unfolds, but I think I would imagine those in and around Brown University, those in and around Providence, Rhode Island, are very, very antsy about this situation. You've got a guy who murdered two people days ago that is on the loose, could be hanging out still in Providence, and people are being told there's no concern, there's no threat to the public, just go on your day-to-day lives. And people are probably like, what the hell are you talking about? There's a guy, it's a mass murderer on the loose. He shot and killed two, injured nine others at Brown University. So it's a very real sense of anxiety, a very real sense of concern. And I frankly don't know what the president of Brown University is talking about. It's just an odd way to open a press conference from my vantage point. The Q&A in this was really kind of the juicy part of this. So we're gonna watch and listen to it together. And I'm going to jump in a couple of times when some very, I think, important and relevant questions get asked. And there are, unfortunately, not a whole hell of a lot in terms of answers. So here's the Q&A period.
As you said, sir, go ahead. I believe this person was in the neighborhood at 10:30. Clarify, you believe that was at 10:30 the morning of the shooting. And what do you believe he was doing there at that time?
Correct. And we have video footage of that, and we believe that he was actually casing out this area to commit the crime. That's a pattern that criminals do, and that's what he was doing.
Chief, yesterday the FBI described the person that we've been seeing in these images as a suspect. Today the language seems to be a person of interest. Can you clarify, do you believe that this person that we're looking at is your shooter, is your shooting suspect?
Definitely, he's still a person of interest, and we're still investigating that to be able to get that answer. But we strongly believe definitely that's a suspect in the incident and a person of interest.
I'll be back.
Not that we know of, no.
In the back, sir.
I asked you yesterday, we were wondering about this person's age. Now that we've seen more video, again, a couple of days ago, I know you're saying 20s, so some talk about 30s, but just to help people at home, people seeing this video, do profilers or anyone in your department have any better understanding, a closer idea on his age? And the second part of that question is, can you now confirm that he has no connection as a past student or as a past staff member at the university?
So the first question, I'll tell you that the first, when it happened on Saturday night, obviously it was chaos, and there was a witness that stated that he might have been in his 30s. At this point, we're still just looking at the picture. We haven't identified ages or anything to that point. And as far as where he's a problem student or anything, we don't have any other answers, no.
Carlin, what are the news?
And so, again, why is there continued anxiety and growing frustration? You just heard a reporter, one of the reporters asked the question, yesterday you described this person as the suspect, which in fact they did at their Monday press conference. And then now yesterday, on Tuesday, you're now describing it as a person of interest, which is undoubtedly a lower, a lower tier, right? You've got person of interest, a suspect, and then potentially somebody being charged or detained or whatever. Suspect is higher priority and higher profile than person of interest. So we've like devolved in the process as the days have gone on. There's presumably more information available. There's more surveillance footage, and we seem to be going backwards in how we're classifying it. it. So why is there growing anxiety? Why is there growing frustration? Why is there growing pressure on law enforcement? I think this is a pretty good description and pretty good reason why.
Videos prior to the shooting, this person's interest is seen running. At this point, do you have any inkling why he's running?
Which he's running? Yeah, we're still investigating that, but we do know definitely that he was casing the area. And again, that's what criminals do prior to committing a crime.
Chris.
It appears that the FBI and PD, according to what I'm looking online, looks like they're releasing separate videos at separate times. Are you guys still coordinating, or you know, how are we doing?
Well, you got to understand that there's a lot of people upstairs, as the general stated earlier, and we're trying to ensure that we do this right job and collect the evidence and that we need, and we want to make sure that everybody has the, especially you guys in the public. One thing I want to make sure that the community is safe, well-informed, and stay confident in the work that we're doing. So yes, there was a video that was released, but we also were working on another video, and the purpose of this this press conference is to ensure that the public can see those videos showing movements, like I stated earlier, the way a person walks, the way they carry their weight. That's the importance. And so our video, the second video that we showed was the one that we needed to show the public.
Just, all right, please.
In terms of cameras inside and outside the engineering building, are those working at all? And if so, why not release some of those videos?
So the video that we showed you came from inside the building, and that's all we had at the moment. That's all we have at this moment.
Correct. Inside the engineering building, though?
I'm sorry?
It's from the outside of the building.
So do you have video footage inside the engineering building?
Both inside and outside. I'm sorry, just outside. That's all we have, not inside. I'm sorry.
And this is going to be a growing kind of thing as we go through this press conference. There is no video available. None. From the actual inside, like the campus of Brown University. The video that I played you at the beginning of the show, for those listening on audio, apologize for that. It's a guy with a beanie and a coat and some sort of black COVID mask walking around a residential area, which I am of the understanding is right outside the campus of Brown University. There is no footage. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but has not been released to the public. And you're going to hear this coming up because the reporters are going to continue to hammer in on this point. How the hell is there no surveillance footage from the university itself? Brown University is a very prominent Ivy League school. You'll hear a question later about how this campus school has a multi-million dollar endowment. And with that, there's no footage from inside the actual university. There's no footage of that. And you're going to hear this cockamamie answer about how this happened right on the edge of campus and so on and so forth. There's, again, it's just something is odd about this. I can't immediately put my finger on what it is. There's just things that are seemingly not adding up in all of this. How the hell is there no surveillance footage of this guy inside the university? That's where he committed the mass act of violence. That's where he shot and killed two people. That's where nine others were shot and severely injured. How is there no footage of that? It seems almost implausible in today's day and age. And even President Donald Trump commented on this. I caught this over at Fox News. President Donald Trump on Wednesday raised additional questions as officials continue to investigate the shooting that unfolded at Brown University last week, asking why there was not more security cameras on campus. The comment, why did Brown University have so few security cameras? There can be no excuse for that. In the modern age, it just doesn't get any worse, the president posted on Truth Social. I mean, it's a fair question. And regardless of whether it's the president asking it or a reporter or me or you or the residents in and around Providence, Rhode Island and Brown University, how the hell is that possible? I mean, you can't walk around in modern society without being on a plethora of cameras. And so we'll get this question will come up here in just a couple of minutes during the Q&A session. Where is the footage? Where is the surveillance footage from inside the school? And you're going to hear that it either A, seemingly doesn't exist, or they're claiming that it doesn't show anything, which neither of those things seem to be possible. Ellen is commenting on our YouTube channel this morning. Interesting comment, Ellen. I've not thought about this. She says, no reward offered from this school either. That's very interesting. Hadn't thought about that, right? It's happened Saturday night. So Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night. This was 3 full days since the shooting happened. Tonight would be the 4th. Interesting comment. No reward yet offered by the university. Interesting. Let's keep going through this press conference. Great comment, Alan. Thanks for watching.
Just outside.
Are they going to be released anytime soon? And once they inside the building?
That was released already. That was the outside of the building. We released that.
Let me just jump here and clarify.
By the way, this is the Attorney General for the state of Rhode Island.
For those of you who've been with us before, and I understand not all of you have been, there is video inside the building. There are cameras inside the building. What we have released to you are videos of this person of interest. So I want to be clear, because later on there may be other videos that get released in the course of a prosecution, likely will be at some point. They show things like chaos after the shooting. What they don't show is this person of interest. And so that's why we haven't released those videos, okay? What you do have are videos from a camera outside of the Brown building and other cameras from around the neighborhood that the good men and women in law enforcement located and put together in this montage. And to your question, Chris, there are two versions of that video, but the bottom line is they, as I understand it, they depict the same thing, and number one, and number two, the agencies are working very, very well together, as I think the special agent in charge would agree.
So why is there growing frustration? You were just told, and it's probably true, you were just told by the Attorney General from the state of Rhode Island that there is no surveillance footage from inside the university of this guy shooting 11 people, killing 2, injuring 9. It seems almost unbelievable in 2025 that something like that is possible, especially at a university. I mean, I would suspect if you went over to UNCW or Cape Fear Community College today here in Wilmington, that there were very few portions, if any, of those campuses where, especially inside of a building, where you are not seen by a camera the entire time. These universities, and Brown is a very, let's be clear with Brown, this is not some struggling public university. Brown is an Ivy League, very expensive school. And so there can't be any concern about, they didn't have the resources to do it. I mean, this is a school that charges an exorbitant tuition fee, a very prominent Ivy League school. It's not a money issue here. And so then the question becomes, why is a university like this not equipped with proper surveillance? As you heard earlier from the president of Brown, campuses like Brown are unfortunately the subject of these acts of violence, but then that should pretty much answer the question that you need to have every corner of the campus inside and out covered with security. I mean, it just seems completely implausible that in today's age that's the case. But I don't think that the Attorney General is lying. I don't think that the police chief is lying. So what the hell's going on at Brown University? It seems almost improbable.
All right, so you've got a follow up and then we're going here.
Just to clarify, there's no clear video of the suspect inside the NBA.
I just said it. That's correct.
Now, can I just ask as well, further to the surveillance footage that you have received, I've been here since Saturday speaking to people who are living in the residential buildings around and in the businesses, and many of the store clerks there have told me it wasn't until this morning that the police have actually come to ask them if they had anything that they could offer, any CCTV or any evidence that they could provide. Why has it taken 3 days for these people to have the police come to them for asking for assistance?
As I stated earlier, it's a residential block that includes a lot of homes, a lot of different camera footage, and it takes a lot of work in the sense that there's a lot of terabytes that we're looking at in order to be able to analyze it, pull what we need. And sometimes it's just a moment that we need, and it's shorter than somebody taking a breath, so it takes a lot of work. And then so once that leads us to our next location, and so we move strategically, we have to pull the video, download it, analyze it, investigate it, and then move forward. Takes
Mr. Attorney General.
Yeah, I just want to jump in there too, because I think I want to clarify in a sense what the chief is saying. He said you start in the grid in the first instance that's closest to Brown. It takes a lot of work to canvas that area. And then you build out as you learn more about the path of travel. So it's entirely possible that tomorrow we'll be canvassing places that we haven't canvassed yet because we're working out with the resources that we have.
And I'm actually going to jump in and give credit to law enforcement and the attorney general in this case, because I saw some folks online like, why was all the footage not requested? And what they just described is absolutely the case. I mean, when you're conducting an investigation, you start small and then you expand the scope out. So this idea that people are just being asked for surveillance footage makes sense, as they are trying to, again, you start as small as possible and then you expand as much as you have to get whatever information you're after. In this case, the identity of an alleged shooter, or not an alleged, the identity of a shooter that killed two people at Brown University. So that is not, to me, that is not a failure of law enforcement. That's not an issue in this investigation. That's just how law enforcement operations work. Start small, expand. And as the attorney general noted, you know, he said tomorrow morning, which would be like right now, there's a very real possibility that more individuals are going to be asked if they have any footage.
Attorney General, Dan, go ahead.
We have a question and a follow-up, right?
Yes.
My first question, Attorney General, to follow up with my colleague, this is the question I asked on Saturday night, which is, so there's cameras in the hallway, but they don't show us the suspect on ground is not releasing them, or you're not releasing them to us. How does a multi-million dollar school not have a bunch of cameras in the hallway?
So,
I mean, it's a phenomenal question. And you can hear a little bit of frustration in the voice there of the reporter who says, you know, I asked this question Saturday night, which would have been, you know, this was still a very hot scene Saturday night. I've been asking this question now for days. How the hell does a multi-million dollar university not have cameras in the hallways, in rooms, in public spaces, in public areas, in and around the camp? I mean, it's a very fair question. And unfortunately, the answer is just not a good one. And I don't know. I can't wrap my head around it.
So let me try to explain that. So as President Patson knows, there was a major addition put on that building within the last 5 years or so. That is a modern building attached to a much older one in the back. So it doesn't come as a surprise to me, at least, that there are cameras in the newer part of the building. And there is video footage, okay? So there's the back part of the building, old part, and front part, new part. The shooting occurs in the old part, towards the back, out towards Hope Street. In that older part of the building, there are fewer, if any, cameras in that location. I imagine because it's an older building.
Yeah, so- I'm sorry. That's complete and total BS. You're telling me that an old building, an older building, is not and cannot be retrofitted with video surveillance? I mean, are you freaking kidding me? I mean, that's the excuse. If that's the case, then the either security team or security contractors that I'm sure Brown University is paying a metric boatload of money every single year to provide security for the campus needs to be immediately terminated. You have a very high profile Ivy League institution in Brown. And the excuse is it's an old building. Therefore, there is very little, if any, surveillance. Closed circuit TV surveillance for grocery stores, convenience shops, schools has existed for 30 plus years. In terms of it being affordable and readily available, 30 years. And so in at no point in the last 30 years did Brown University, and comment coming in on our live chat this morning, Brown has its own Department of Public Safety, then heads need to roll there. There is absolutely no way that a competent either internal or external security group would say, the building is old, therefore it doesn't have surveillance. Let me make the point. Does the old wing of this building have Wi-Fi? My guess is it probably does, since everybody in every classroom, probably at Brown University, is using a laptop, tablet, or smartphone throughout the day. I would guess the building has been retrofitted with Wi-Fi. I would guess that there is modern technology in that function. but it doesn't have surveillance. It doesn't have again, something is just not adding up here. This is not some rinky-dink, random-ass college littered across the United States with no funding, with some super small enrollment that nobody knows of. This is a Ivy League, very well-known, very prominent, very well-funded institution. And the old building, which is attached to a new building, built about 5 years ago, as we're told, doesn't have surveillance, doesn't have security cameras. I'm sure it's got Wi-Fi. I'm sure it's got other modern 21st century technologies in it. But because it's old, it's, again, we've watched a lot of these. I've, for over a decade now, have watched similar press conferences to this. We've seen mass investigations all over the place. Something about this one is just odd. I can't exactly put my thumb on what it is. I can't describe it, but something is just not adding up with this. We'll get into more from this press conference, including some additional questions about, again, how is this possible that this university does not have modern security amenities that they should have had 30 years ago, but how do they not have those in 2025? We'll get into those details coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Before that, I want to thank the Melissa Gott and the team over at the Law Group here in Wilmington for their continued support and let you know that when legal challenges arise, make sure you put your trust in the Law Group. Since 2003, their experienced attorneys have provided high-quality, affordable legal services across Eastern North Carolina. Whether you're facing a divorce, maybe you're navigating a real estate transaction, or you're in a position where you may need strong criminal defense, the Law Group has your back. Their dedicated team ensures your questions are answered and issues are resolved as quickly as possible. Located in downtown Wilmington, they're just a phone call away at 910-251-6088, or you can visit their website, lawgroupnc.com. They've got a great blog on there where they discuss a variety of legal challenges and issues that you could be facing. You can read more about Melissa and her amazing team. All of that available on their website, lawgroupnc.com. Give them a call, 910-251-6088 or online, lawgroupnc.com. The Law Group, experience and dedication you can rely on. We appreciate the Law Group and their continued support of the Nick Craig Show. All right, continuing our coverage this morning, we'll dive into some additional details on this Brown University press conference yesterday as the Nick Craig Show rolls on a Wednesday morning, streaming live YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and available 24/7 wherever you get your podcasts. Good Wednesday morning to you. Welcome back to the Nick Craig Show as we continue our coverage this morning of what I can really only describe as kind of a bizarre press conference taking place yesterday afternoon surrounding the murder of two students, injuring of nine others, and a shooting that happened at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island on Saturday. More questions than answers this morning as both the attorney general, the police chief, and university officials getting grilled by the media over a lack of video evidence, a lack of information being provided. This is how it was unfolding yesterday afternoon in Providence.
So as students are fleeing the area of the shooting into the new part of the building, there are cameras in that brand new building that show that chaos. But the only video of the presumed, anticipated, suspected, however you want to define it, person of interest, you have it. We would release it if we thought it would be helpful in identifying this subject because we are relying on the press and public to help get us there. There would be no reason for us to hold it back. We're looking for the best image we can.
Dan, got a follow-up.
Attorney General, thank you for explaining that because it really clarifies it. Although I'm sure some people watching would think a multi-million dollar school with a huge endowment could afford new cameras in an old building. That's my statement. Here's my question.
By the way, a bravo to this reporter. I mean, just saying what everybody's thinking out loud. Ivy League school, as it's being noted in our YouTube live chat this morning, lower tier Ivy, but still an Ivy League school, over $100,000 a year to attend for an undergraduate student. A very fat, healthy endowment. There should be money available to retrofit a building with some some level of modern security features, like surveillance cameras and footage. Those, in the grand scheme of things, are relatively inexpensive in the grand scheme of things. So bravo to that reporter for making his comment and then his follow-up.
If he's casing that area, Colonel, like you said, he had an intended target, which speaks to the motive. Did he have a target to kill one of the two people that were killed?
We're still investigating it, Dan, and it's something that we're trying to get the answers as well. So.
Patrick? Patrick?
For President Paxson, have you two related, have you reviewed any communications to Brown before the shooting that revealed any kind of threat, any kind to anyone at Brown? And then since the shooting, I believe some web pages for students or faculty have been taken down. Is that a response to any external threats to anyone in the community?
We have been working very closely with law enforcement to provide them with all of the internal to Brown information that they need to do this investigation. It's their investigation. They're the professionals. So we're providing information. We're not in the job of reviewing it for them. I know nothing about web pages being taken down as part of this. It's the first I've heard of it.
So this is kind of, I don't even know if I'd call it relevant. It's now, it's only adding to and building onto the anxiety, frustration, lack of trust that individuals are having with this investigation as now we go into the fourth day. Because there are, in fact, web pages that are being scrubbed from the Brown University campus. Now, there's a lot of chatter on social media about one individual person whose name has been scrubbed from the Brown University website. Their social media has been deactivated. Individuals are claiming this is the shooter. I'm not getting into that this morning. I'm not in the business of not even doxing, but I'm not in the business of saying, oh, this is the person, when the only thing that's happened is a web page has been removed. Could it end up being that individual who has got... And I'm sure part of the reason why it is growing in its social media attention is because this individual would appear to be very left-wing in their political ideology. So I'm sure that's part of the reason why it's being spread around. But how can the president of Brown say, I have no knowledge of this? I mean, it's all over social media. Somebody at Brown University is directing somebody to remove web pages associated with students and faculty. Somebody is telling that there's not just some rogue web dev that is like, I'm just going to turn this guy's webpage off. I'm going to 404 this website, delete the contents of it so that it can't be found or seen. Somebody is directing that, presumably at a pretty high level. And you're just hearing now from the president, I have no knowledge of this. Again, something about this is just odd and it does not add up.
In the back. Yep.
You want people to feel safe. Can you say this person of interest is no longer in Providence, no longer in Rhode Island, like out of the state? Do we have any sense at all?
I can speak to the investigation, and if there's a follow-up for either the general or the colonel, I'm sure they'd be happy to answer it. But I'll restate what I've said several times now, which remains true as another day passes. Since the initial call came in at 4:05 p.m. on Saturday, we have not received, and this is now updated with another 24 hours have passed, a single credible specific threat to the area, to the city, related to this event, and as far as I know, to the state. And I know that this is a question that many people are struggling with, and it's difficult conversations that I've had with many, many of my constituents, including a very anxious parent this morning.
You're hearing the voice. This is the mayor of Providence, Rhode Island. I mean, not to make light of the situation, but this guy it looks like if you closed your eyes and imagined what the mayor of hippy dippy Providence, Rhode Island looks like. I mean, this guy fits it. He's got his button up shirt with a sweater vest over it with his blazer on. It's just, nevertheless, put that aside. We've been told now since Saturday, people living in and around Providence, Rhode Island, you're safe. There's no concern. A comment coming in on our YouTube chat this morning, there's a murderer on the loose. I mean, I made this point on Monday and I made it again earlier. You've got a literal murderer on the loose who, I mean, if we're being honest, probably is not still in Providence. I mean, if you were a criminal and you had just murdered two people, injured nine others, you'd probably try to get out of Dodge as quickly as possible. And I wasn't being facetious and I'm not making a joke when I say this guy literally could be halfway across the freaking globe. There's no name. There's no suspect at this point. This guy would not be on presumably not be on a TSA no fly list or anything like that. This person literally could be already out of the United States. Is that highly likely? I'd say probably not. I mean, we saw a similar situation with Luigi Maggioni or whatever the hell his name is, the guy that murdered the United Healthcare CEO. That took a couple of days. And he was what, found at a McDonald's outside of Philadelphia, you know, eating a sausage, egg and cheese McGriddle or something like that. So he's probably not out of the United States, but he could be. I mean, without a name going into some sort of database, you buy a plane ticket. As long as you've got a passport, you probably go pretty much wherever the hell you want. And so the question about public safety in this area is a very valid one. And I would imagine, I don't live in Providence, but if something like this was going on in Wilmington, I think the entire community would be like, well, I don't feel safe. You've got a literal murderer on the loose. So, and I get that the mayor has an obligation. And from a purely leadership standpoint, you don't want your community to feel terrified and unsafe. I get the role that he is in, which is a miserable one, I'll note. But folks have access to social media. They're talking to their coworkers and their neighbors and people that live in and around that area with them. There's no way this is a sufficient answer. This is the mayor's putting a rock in a hard place with this situation.
The best information we have is that there is no credible, actionable, specific threat that has occurred since Saturday. And in order to enhance and ensure the safety of our community, we have stepped up law enforcement efforts throughout the city in a precautionary measure, in an abundance of caution, to try to give comfort and confidence to people who have to take the steps forward in their daily lives, who have to take their kids to school, who have to get to work. And that is the honest answer and the best answer we have at this time as the days continue to pass.
Mr. Mayor, with that, can you tell us where you believe he may be? Is he in the state? Is he in the area?
That question was asked as well. So, Colonel, I'll let you answer that.
Yeah, we're continuing to investigate that. We're looking for the same answers as the mayor stated. We haven't really received any credible info as far as any other calls for that nature, but I'll tell you that we have enhanced our presence in about the city, and we're using every resource we have, and every call that comes in, we're responding to it immediately.
Pat, are you working with any neighboring states?
It's Pat, so we're working our way across the room here. Pat.
Pat Ford, Coalition Radio. In a case involving a hit-and-run accident in the vicinity of Brown University that was litigated by the Office of Attorney General Neroni in 2023, Brown University Police Detective John Remke stated that the university maintains several thousand video surveillance cameras and license plate readers on Brown University campus and surrounding campus. Now, this is in addition, obviously, to the Providence Police Data Center. Attorney General Neroni, your department litigated that case, ostensibly giving your department a thorough understanding of the landscape. Why isn't there more video or metadata, and were those cameras all operational?
Yeah, I can't speak to what was operational or wasn't, but I will say this, that and I've answered this question a few times today, and I'll try to do my best to answer it again. So somebody reported, it might have been the Globe, that there are 800 cameras or so on the campus. It might have been
1200.
The Globe. 1,200. But this building is on the very edge of the campus. If you know, I know that building well. I had two sons who spent a good chunk of their lives there. It's at the very edge of the campus. It's not in the heartland of the campus. It's not the green. And there are several greens. It's not any of the three greens as I remember them. So it's right on the edge of the campus, and where the shooting took place is at the very edge of that building on the edge of the campus. And so as those of you who know Providence know, you are very quickly into a residential neighborhood, which is why the video footage you're seeing of this defendant's, person of interest movements, are pre and post shooting are in that neighborhood. So the building is on the edge of the Brown campus. Where the shooting took place is at the edge of that building, and then you're very quickly into a residential neighborhood. There is no footage. I'll try to say it again. There is no footage that depicts this individual that would be useful in identifying him that we have not released to you. And I think you can tell from, frankly, the not very helpful quality of the initial footage that our standard is pretty low. If we thought it was at all helpful, we would have and will release it. John.
Got a great comment coming in on our Rumble live chat this morning. It says, whoever is in charge of campus security has a lot to answer for. Brown University, is a historic school and has a lot of old buildings, some dating back to the 1770s and early 1800s. Are they as ill-equipped? I think that's a great question. I mean, I'd answer that by saying yes. I mean, the excuse from the attorney general is that the older building has little to zero video surveillance. So I think it would be fair to say that, yes, there is no footage that is probably available in any of the older portions of the campus. And again, it's not a good excuse. It happened at the edge of a building on the edge of campus. It's still campus. It's still the college. It's still the university grounds. This notion, this concept, this idea that there's no surveillance available is just insane, plain and simple.
One question, real quick follow-up.
Colonel,
does Brown University or the federal government employ Stingray or any other mass surveillance equipment in or around the Brown University campus? And again, remember that the Brown University detective said that these applied and said that these cameras extend to the neighborhood. So the other question is, does mass surveillance by Brown University end at campus borders, or is there anything in the Fire Street community, the downtown area, or anywhere else in the community?
You asked me this question last night, Pat, and I don't have any knowledge of those systems.
Respect the mayor. I'm not asking you. I'm asking the attorney general or the FBI.
Okay.
Yeah, there is no mass surveillance. Well, first of all, I'm not sure what mass surveillance means, Pat, but...
Hold on a second here. The attorney general, the state's top law enforcement dog in Rhode Island, does not know what the term mass surveillance means? Really? I'm supposed to believe that the top guy when it comes to law enforcement in the entire state of Rhode Island is not familiar with the term or does not know, could not describe what mass surveillance means? Really? Why is there growing skepticism over this investigation? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because the attorney general is going to state that he doesn't know what mass surveillance means? Really? I mean, it's almost unbelievable, isn't it?
But by any standard, I wouldn't describe it as mass surveillance by Brown University.
Well, hold on. If you don't know what mass surveillance is, how could you not describe something as mass surveillance? This doesn't make any sense.
Our cameras that they have in place in an effort to protect their students.
Well, how'd that
work
out?
Unfortunately, here, given location, given age of building, we just don't.
I'm sorry, I keep stopping this. This age of building excuse is such BS. Now, I truly believe there are not cameras probably in this area, but that is just the lamest ass excuse that I've ever heard. There are old buildings littered throughout the United States that are either operated by private individuals, state and local governments, or the federal government. All of them are retrofitted with modern technology, Wi-Fi, security systems, badge readers, video surveillance all over the place. This is not a valid excuse. It's an old building. There's old buildings freaking everywhere. Go to Washington, D.C. Take a look at all of the old buildings that exist there. All of them have modern security and safety features that you would expect, as they should, because it's 2025, not 1925. Seriously. Old building. It's just not doing it for me.
Don't have additional video footage. I wish we did, but we don't. And so we're doing everything we can to find additional footage from the neighborhoods,
reinvent his path of travel and continue to canvass for either people who may have seen him, encountered him, or who have video evidence that could supplement what you already have.
John.
I have a question for Agent Docs of the FBI. Agent, so this happened Saturday night, and then last night you have an MIT professor. I know the question was asked, but this has to work. What we see on this video seemingly is someone very cautious, almost like a professional, kind of like the D.C. pipe bomber that is circling several times.
Describe.
What information do you have? That MIT Jewish professor in Brooklyn was basically executed. Do you have any intelligence how that person was operating yet?
So this is a great question by the media. And I'll admit I was not aware of this situation before watching this press conference yesterday. I guess it just got buried in the news cycle. There is a 47-year-old, or was a 47-year-old MIT professor in a Boston suburb, which I will admit is not right around the corner, but pretty damn close to Providence, Rhode Island, definitely within the span that you could get there within 3 days, which is how long it's been since this shooting at Brown University, who was executed in his home Monday night. Jewish professor, the FBI reports, and the field office out of Boston, which is, by the way, the guy that you're seeing now on the video and is speaking for the FBI is from the Boston field office, was brutally executed and murdered in his home. Jewish professor from MIT Monday night. Relative close proximity. Is there a connection? Probably not, but I mean, you know, with the lack of any other information we've got, it's pretty, you know, coincidental, for lack of a better term. So this is the FBI field rep from Boston working the case in Providence.
You know, it's interesting. The Colonel Noble reached out to me very early. Their lead on that particular incident. He made sure that if there's any intelligence, any information in which is connected to what we have here, that they would share that. At this time, there seems to be no connection as it relates to that particular incident.
What, as a FBI agent, what do you see in that individual who's walking? For example, you know, he's walking with his arms behind his back, and I've seen people talk about that's not like a young kid on a campus. That scene where he's you know, walking, that's something more either European or Middle Eastern. What do you see so far in this video that we see of the suspect or a person of interest?
You know, I think the colonel articulated in a sense what they see. I say from an FBI perspective, we have individuals that can hypothesize on that, our behavioral analysis unit, and those type of individuals. I will say I would be, I think, getting a little ahead of things if I give you kind of an inference of what I see in that particular behavior. It can mean a lot of things, to be truly transparent with you, and to get into the mind of an individual that would commit such a heinous act. That's a place in which I don't want to go right now. I'm not sure what was going on in that particular individual's head at that time.
Would agree,
John, that's it.
This individual seems very tough.
Brian, in the back.
President Paxson, clearly, as you stated, the shooter is to blame, but you're hearing a lot of questions about the lack of cameras. You mentioned you've heard some of the criticism. What is your response to parents as well who said they pay a lot of money for their kids to go to Brown? They're questioning the cameras. Why the sirens didn't go off? Do you believe that Brown had the precautions and safety measures in place before the shooting that were appropriate and necessary?
It's a phenomenal question. I know it was a little muffled, but the crux of the question is, you have parents who spend a crap ton of money sending their kids, probably over or close to $100,000 a year, sending their kids to Brown, and all they're hearing is, the sirens didn't work, there's no cameras because the building is old, we have no information on this, we have no information on that, and rightfully so, they're pretty annoyed and ticked off that they're spending all this money and the school does not have any modern features that have existed on college campuses now for the better part of 20-plus years. A fair question to the president of Brown University. Let's hear her answer.
I do. And in fact, I'm glad you mentioned the sirens, because I think there's been some misinformation about that. We have two security systems that we can activate in a time of an emergency. One is a system that sends out text messages, phone calls, emails.
Sure.
And it was activated within minutes of the incident. Those messages went out to 20,000 individuals. So all alerts. We also have a system of sirens. There are three sirens placed across campus. Those get activated when there is a broad-scale emergency and we want people to rush into buildings.
A broad-scale emergency? You had two of your students shot and killed, nine others wounded. And that wasn't a broad enough scale emergency? Students should have been rushing into buildings. You had an armed murderer running around the campus. What the hell is going on at Brown University? This press conference is so incredibly eye-opening.
In the case of an active shooter, activating that system could have caused people to rush into Barris and Hawley. So that's not a system that we would ever use in the case of an active shooter.
Well, then I guess that makes Brown the exception to the rule, because as I understand it, at least at public universities, pretty much all across the country, you would activate a siren system like that when you've got somebody actively murdering students on campus. That's just an insane answer.
So,
just to follow up, it does say on the website when it was launched that it is for active shooter.
So it depends on the circumstances and where the active shooter would be, but you don't want to ever get people rushing into buildings that might be the site of an active shooting.
The follow-up reporter from the follow-up question from the reporter was, on your website, when you announced the installation of this siren system, is that it would be used in situations of active shooters? And the response from the president of the university is, oh, it depends on the circumstance and where it's happening. When it's immediately going on, they have no freaking clue where it's happening. Just a pitiful excuse of an answer.
That's my understanding.
Go ahead, sir.
Well, you're the freaking president of the university, so I mean, the kind of buck kind of stops with you, lady. You're the head honcho. It's your understanding. You're the president of the university. You, at this point, if this press conference was Saturday night, be a completely different ballgame. It had been at this point, 72 hours since it happened. You don't think at some point somebody internally at Brown said, hey, you might get a question about why the sirens weren't used? It's just illogical.
Do you have any evidence that suggests that the victim, Ella Cook, may have been targeted?
Colonel McKenna. No, not at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Just a question over here. You mentioned you have over 200 kids.
Miss, we're working our way across. I'm sorry. Just go ahead, Tom.
Attorney General Morono, what are the characteristics of the guy in the first video that makes you believe that he's also the same guy in the video that was released yesterday and then the follow-up for President Paxson?
Yeah, I think that is an analysis that has been done by the agents and the detectives. And a lot of factors are going into that. A lot of it is being able to, and as I just saw upstairs, a really terrific job of tracing movements. And when you put movements and times together, it's easy to easier, perhaps is the best word, to identify them as the same person. Now, look, there are no absolutes in any investigation, and I'm not about to make absolute statements in this one either. But that's the general reasoning for why we've concluded that.
Just a follow-up to President Paxson. Right now, school break is pretty much underway for a lot of the university students. Have you met with your police department and the board of trustees on how you're going to secure the university going into the second semester? Are you making any changes to the way you guys operate?
Well, right now we have been, the campus is emptying out first, as you said, but we still have staff and faculty and graduate students and international students who will remain on campus during the winter break. So it's still open. And right now our focus is on getting as many sort of boots on the ground, people in cars. We have been really fortunate that the city and other municipalities have people who are helping us. People from the state. We also have security that we brought in from outside. I think over 60 people today were patrolling the campus. I was on campus walking around and I couldn't turn around without seeing a security person. So we will continue that for as long as we think it's necessary. And right now the campus feels very secure.
So no
Thank
changes.
You.
Steve, I'm sorry, I missed your
no, okay. If I were
if someone were, Providence residents were to see someone who matched the description of the person of interest, how would they be sure that they weren't dealing with a federal ICE agent?
The tip line that we've been providing throughout the last several of days, 401-272-3121, that call comes in here and is answered in this building with Providence Police professionals and our partners at the FBI. That is who's manning the phones, that is who's processing the tips, and we are encouraging anybody who has relevant information to please use that tip line, and they should know that that's who's on the other end of the phone. And again, if you have relevant information or information that you think might help us with this investigation, we encourage you to call.
Are there anything that could be differentiated between this person and an ICE agent who would be messed up walking through town and not be a approached by the police in the same way that this person was?
Again, we've worked really hard to build the trust of our community here in Providence, and I'm telling you that that phone number, 401-272-3121, rings in this building and is answered by Providence Police and or FBI. Those are the agencies that are processing, running down, and investigating any relevant information, and we urge folks, if you have relevant information, to please use that phone number. Luke.
All right, so that's pretty much all of the interesting stuff from the press conference. I have Fox on in the background here, and they just put up a graphic that I'm trying to find about some of the surveillance on campus. Yeah, this is an image that I guess I missed earlier. I guess this is the Brown University campus, and not exactly sure what these little dots and icons are showing. Presumably it's some level of security and cameras and things like that. And you can see this whole, almost this entire northeastern, I presume this map is set northeast, southwest, almost the entire northeastern half of the campus has no security and no surveillance. Again, like, how is this possible? In 2025, with the cost of cameras being as low as they are, you can go to any big box store, go to Walmart, Target, Sam's Club, Costco, and purchase an entire home security, home surveillance system with a DVR and high definition 1080p cameras for like $300 or $400. You get five, six cameras, a couple $100. You can put cameras on every edge of your house for that cost. How does something like this exist? Seems like it would be, the only explanation is complete and total incompetence of the Department of Public Safety and the campus security team at Brown. Not trying to, you know, point fingers and not trying to put the blame on people that are not responsible, but it just seems implausible that that's the case. And there's been a couple of comments that have come in while we've been live this morning, is that this was likely either a staff member or student that would know what the lack of security is in this area of the campus. Apparently, where the shooting took place, there was some sort of study session going on. Again, that information is not broadcast publicly. It would have to have been somebody that knew what was going on at that portion of campus at that time. So that's where we're at right now. More questions than answers, lack of information from FBI, the chief of police, the attorney general, the president of Brown University seemingly doesn't know what the hell's going on at all over there. So a very odd situation, for lack of a better term. Presumably there'll be another press conference today. Just kind of refreshing my social media feeds here to see if anything has happened in the last 30 minutes or so, and not seeing anything that is jumping off the page right now in terms of new information. So we'll see presumably another press conference later today, and maybe we get closer to figuring out who the hell this person is and and exactly the situation that unfolded at Brown University. We'll keep an eye on the details right here on the Nick Craig Show. All right, again, reminder, coming up tonight, 7 o'clock on Zoom, for those that support the show over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. We'll be chatting about this and all of the other news and political topics of the day. 7 o'clock tonight at patreon.com/Nick Craig. Subscribe to that for as little as $5 or $10 a month, and you'll see the link to tonight's monthly hangout as we round out 2025 and get ready to kick the calendar into 2026. Look forward to seeing and chatting with everybody tonight. Another quick programming note, I am on WBT Radio this morning from 10 to noon, sitting in for Vince Coakley on Charlotte's FM News Talk 107.9 WBT. You can stream that live or check out the Vince Coakley podcast. We're talking about Brown University. The president, President Donald Trump, is going to be in the state of North Carolina on Friday. I'll have all of that coming up for you on the Vince Coakley radio program at 10 to noon today. News Talk, Charlotte's FM News Talk 107.9 WBT. That's going to do it for a Wednesday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thanks to Melissa Gott and the amazing team over at the Law Group for their continued support. Visit them online at lawgroupnc.com. The Nick Craig Show streams live weekday mornings, 7 a.m. YouTube, Rumble, X, Facebook, and is available 24/7 in your favorite podcast app. We'll do it again tomorrow morning right here on the Nick Craig Show.